Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much. God, you are amazing and you are gracious beyond compare. Lord, we are all guilty of sin. We are all guilty of rebelling against you. I'm sure, Lord, all of us here, throughout within this week, Lord, we have made other things more important than you. We have perhaps even cursed you. Maybe some of us, Lord, are going through really, really dark times in their life. I mean, they're really struggling, Lord. And they feel absent. And they feel like you're absent. And they feel like you're not there. And Lord, I pray that you would show yourself ever so faithful and ever so true to your plans that affect us, that incorporates us, that involves us, Lord. Teach us to fight the good fight. Teach us to cling on to you when we can't, when we feel like we can't do it anymore. May your Holy Spirit give us that extra strength when we feel like we're just dead, when we feel like we just don't have the energy and the desire and the passion anymore to love you. May your Holy Spirit rejuvenate us, Lord. May you, O God, accomplish this will, your plans, in our life and through our life for your own glory. As we study your word, may you go before us, Lord. May you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. I know it's Mother's Day coming up, and I'm looking, I see some very wonderful moms out there. I don't think I see any mothers-to-be. If you are, then praise God for you. Because being a mother or a mother-to-be, it is truly a blessing, and it is truly a gift from God. So Lord, I mean, we thank the Lord for you, and we're very, very, very grateful. And, you know, I started preparing for the sermon on Thursday, and as I was preparing, I was like, it's Mother's Day. I gotta come up with something that, I gotta look for something in the scriptures, that would glorify God, through moms, you know, and it would be a great encouragement for moms out, you know, in the English ministry, in the Chinese ministry, and so forth. And I was like, well, okay, I know. I have, Rachel knows who he is. Owen Dangana is, I think he's my little godson. That's what they tell me at least. So yeah, he's a great little kid. And he recently just got a new baby sister. And his baby sister's name is Naomi. And she's absolutely adorable. And she looks like her dad, which, you know, it's kind of funny. But he's nevertheless very, very beautiful girl. And she's so cute. Chubby cheeks and everything. So I said, oh, Naomi, you know, I know that their parents, they named their children and they put a lot of time and a lot of research into why they named their kids that. So I decided, well, I'm going to do a little research on Naomi, and if I find out, and if it's relevant, if it's good, then, you know, Lord be with us, and Lord give us grace in preaching his word for Mother's Day. So I started studying the book of Ruth and looking into the person of Naomi. And as I looked more and more, I was thinking, okay, is there a Mother's Day message in this at all? And I was like, well, we'll see. I don't think there is, but we'll see. So as I started digging deeper and deeper in the book of Ruth, I'm starting to find, oh man, this is I've ran into some very big theological situations. And I said, fine, Lord, it's you know, I don't want to manipulate your word, and so I'm just going to preach your word and see where we go from there. So today is Mother's Day, and I appreciate, and we all appreciate you moms, so forgive me if it's not really a Mother's Day sermon. I tried, but I can't make God's word be what it's not. So forgive me. But anyway, so I started digging deeper into Naomi and into Ruth, and I've come across this idea of retributive principle. You know, and I didn't coin the word. I didn't come up with this idea. It's actually it's been used quite a bit, and I'm just basically, and I kind of find this idea of retributive principle and covenant loyalty found in the book of Ruth. Now, I didn't pick a specific passage. Instead, I decided to just give an overview of how the retributive principle idea and the covenant loyalty idea is found in the book of Ruth. So you're scratching your head and thinking, whoa, what does it mean, retributive principle? What are you talking about? You already lost me. Right, guys? I see Josiah kids. I already lost them. And I'm going to hear it from them in Sunday school. Like, oh, I lost you at hello, kind of thing. So anyways, allow me to define what retributive principle is. And then we'll see if we can find this in Ruth and in Naomi. And we're going to talk about this and how I personally do not absolutely believe that retributive principle is biblical. Now, some will disagree with me, and that's fine. And I will present my side, and you can take it for what it is. So retributive principle idea is basically this. To make it very simple and make it very very simplified definition is this. If party A is loyal and faithful to party B, then party B must absolutely, without a doubt, must repay or bless or give party A according to their faithfulness. So in the case of retributive principle, it's this idea. If I am loyal to God, right? If I am faithful, if I am loyal, if I am committed, and I am not wary of God, and I just absolutely 100%, no, 110% love God, and I will obey God, and I follow Him, I worship Jesus, I go to church every Sunday, I go to Sunday school every Sunday, I go to fellowships every other week, I go to these things, I participate, I read my Bible all the time, I pray all the time, I do all these things, right? I am faithful to God, I am loyal to God, and if I am loyal to God, according to the retributive principle idea, God must be loyal to you. It is this idea, God's faithfulness to you is contingent, it is dependent on your faithfulness, your loyalty, your commitment to God. And let's see if we find this idea in Ruth and in Naomi's life. We're going to jump around, so if you have your Bibles, please have it open to Ruth. Now, those of you who don't have a Bible, please share with one another, because, you know, sharing is caring. It's a good thing to learn. So if you have your Bibles, please open it with me to Ruth. Now, I'm going to jump around, okay? And then we're going to look to see if this retributive principle idea is found in Ruth. Okay, you guys there? Ruth? All right. Again, retributive principle is this. If you are faithful and loyal, God must be faithful and loyal to you. God's faithfulness is dependent on your faithfulness to God. Okay? Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. We're going to jump around. So, chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, and I'll be reading from the ESV. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you, you being Naomi, or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. So here we see that in the story, Naomi, her husband, and her two sons left Bethlehem because of a great famine. They went into the region of Moab, and what happened was Naomi's sons took Moabite daughters' wives, and when they're not supposed to, but nevertheless they did. The story tells us that Naomi's husband and Naomi's two sons die. They pass away. And then what happens was now she has two Moabite daughter-in-laws, but she takes them in. And they get word and they find out that Bethlehem, the famine is no more. God provides food for, God took away the famine and God's providing food back in Bethlehem. So Naomi says, we're gonna go back. You know, my husband, I'm a widow. I lost my two sons and all I have now is Moabite daughters. I'm gonna go back. And then Ruth and the other daughter, wanted to follow Naomi, but Naomi said, no, don't follow me. Stay here. Find new husbands. You know, live, survive. You don't want to follow me. I'm a widow. But nevertheless, one of the daughters decided, well, okay, I'll do the natural thing, the safest thing, and that's stay in Moab. Find a new spouse and get on with her life. But here you have Ruth, which does the unexpected thing, and that's she persistently pleads to Naomi, I want to follow you. I will go with you. I will, you know, I'm not going to leave your side. And so therefore, she says this in chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. You see Naomi's loyalty, okay? The key word today is going to be loyalty. You see Ruth's loyalty to Naomi when she says, you know, I will go wherever you go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God, the one true God, Yahweh, will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you bury, I will be buried. Like basically, she is going wherever Naomi is going, and she commits her loyalty to Naomi. Okay? And we see also in Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, but Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. Here Boaz even sees and acknowledges the faithfulness, the loyalty of Ruth to Naomi. And he's saying, I see what all the things you have done to your mother-in-law. She's not even your real mom. She's your mother-in-law. And here you're so faithful and you're loyal to her. And I see this and how Boaz is acknowledging Ruth's faithfulness. Even though you left your mother and father, your native land and all these things, you remain faithful to Naomi first. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, and he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, which, whether poor or rich. You see, even they acknowledge that Ruth had the chance, had the opportunity to do what is best for herself. She could have hooked up with any dude, right? Whether rich or poor. She could have hooked up. You know, I'm sure she's a good-looking woman. You know, and she could have hooked up with others. But instead, what she did was she put Naomi first. Ruth put Naomi and the Lord first. Ruth didn't put herself first. Ruth said, I could have married any guy and kind of, you know, and it would negatively affect Naomi. But instead, no. Ruth remained faithful to Naomi first, her mother-in-law, and she remained faithful to the Lord. Now, look at the retributive principle idea found here. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Now pay attention to this. Ruth chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. Ruth chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has never forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of our kind, one of our redeemers, and so forth. So you see this idea that in spite of difficulties, Naomi became a widow. She lost her two sons. She essentially, being a widow in the ancient world, in the ancient times, is not easy. It is absolutely difficult, not only because you're being a woman, but being widowed is difficult. And to have no sons, to have nobody to take care of you, that's even worse. And here Naomi takes in Ruth, and Naomi pleads her loyalty to Ruth, and Ruth pleads her loyalty to Naomi, and together they're faithful to one another, and they're faithful to the Lord, and they're faithful to God. And in spite of all of these things, they continuously remain loyal to one another and to God. Ruth had every chance to care for herself and to be like, oh, it's all about me. I got to do what's best for me. She could have done it, but she didn't. She didn't marry any random guy. She remained faithful to Naomi first to make sure that Naomi is taken care of, and she's faithful to the Lord, seeking the Lord's will with regards to marriage. And not only that, we see that there's dilemmas, there's difficulties, and then we see the response of the people is that they're loyal, and the result of their loyalty is retributive principle, right? Where God responds to Naomi and Ruth's faithfulness with what? With marriage. God makes a way, God provides so that Boaz can marry Ruth. Not only that, but God provides a child. In the end of the story, God gives Ruth and Boaz a child. A child. And the crazy thing is, in the end of the story, you know who else gets a child? Naomi. Here is an elderly lady, widow, no sons, nobody to take care of her, and what God, and because of her faithfulness and loyalty, God provides even for her, without a husband, a child. A child that essentially becomes Naomi's through Ruth. She didn't give birth to the child, but through her relationship with Ruth, she essentially became an heir, a direct, like a mother to this child. God provides. God provided Naomi with a lot of land, which is unheard of for a widow in the ancient times. So God provides because of their loyalty, right? See, if that's true, right? Because we kind of find this retributive principle idea in our text. If this is true, right? And I know for a fact that there are churches out there, there are pastors, there are preachers, there are televangelists that uses this idea, the retributive principle idea, and say, this is how it is. If you want to be blessed by God, if you want to be blessed by the Lord, you have to be loyal to God. And if you're loyal and you're tithing, you're loyal in this, you're loyal in that, then God will bless you back. Is that true? It sounds like it's true here, because, you know, Ruth is faithful, Naomi is faithful to one another, to the Lord, so faithful, and what God provides. God provided Boaz, God provided a land, God even provided a child. So is this true? Because here's the thing. If this is true, I want you guys to think about this. If this is true, what about the people who constantly and frequently and faithfully love the Lord, but they're not cured of their cancer? What about the people who are faithful to God? So faithful and so devout and loyal to God, but yet their family is falling apart. What about the people who are faithful to God, but their spouse is cheating on them? And their spouse is unfaithful to them? What about if you're faithful to God, you're absolutely faithful, and you lose your job? What if you're absolutely loyal and faithful to God, and you never end up getting married? What if you're absolutely faithful to God, and you never end up having a child? You can never bear a child. What does it mean then? Does it mean that you're not loyal? That you're not faithful to God? Because according to the retributive principle idea, if you are faithful, if you are loyal to God, then God has to bless you with things that you need or you want. A job, a faithful, loving spouse, a functional family, free of diseases and cancer and any terminal illness, the best school that you want to get into, a good-looking girlfriend or boyfriend. Is that how it works? Because there are a lot of people out there that will say, there's a lot of people that will say, if you want to be blessed by God, right? If you want to be blessed by God, be loyal to Him and be faithful to Him. Be faithful in your tithing. Be faithful in giving, and God will give you a job. Is that guaranteed? Because according to the retributive principle idea, it should be, but I don't think that's the case. God does not work that way. Our relationship with God is not that. The retributive principle idea is not biblical. It's not even grace. Because if you employ this idea, where does grace come in? It's all works righteousness. You earn and you work and you work. If I do good work, God will bless me. Where's grace? Where's God's grace? So, another example of this retributive principle idea is found in Job. You know, Job is constantly faithful to God. Even when he lost his family, when he got stricken with boils and leprosy and all these things, when his friends reject him, even his wife tells him, curse God and die, Job continues to remain faithful to God. A man who's righteous. He continues to be faithful and faithful. But in the end of Job, you come across where Job finally, he slips up. And he essentially points to God and he accuses God, in a sense, puts God in a courtroom where he's sitting as he's being grilled and he's being accused of something. And Job accuses God, you are not faithful because I am faithful to you. Because I have, even though all of these bad things happened in my life, I remain good to you. I didn't curse you. I trusted in you. I believe in you. I leaned on you and all of these things. And yet, where are you? And Job accuses God of not being loyal. And God responds with like some powerful words. Very, very powerful rebuking words. Essentially saying, who the heck are you? Do you know everything? Do you know everything where you provide for everything? Do you take care of everything? No. You don't know everything. Are you God? No. So the retributive principle idea is found in churches, but I don't think it is found necessarily in the Bible. Now, allow me to add this, a very important little note. Does this mean then that you don't love God, right? Does it mean that what's the point of being loyal then? What's the point of even trying? What's the point of even trying to be faithful to God? If me being faithful to God does nothing for me, right? If that's the case, if it's not the retributive principle idea, what do we do? Do we not trust in God? Like, what's the point of trusting in God then? What's the point of fighting a good fight? What's the point of trying to be loyal if there's no response that is beneficial for us? Now, I believe that God blesses and God rewards our faithfulness. Okay? Now, allow me to say this again. God rewards and God blesses your faithfulness to Him according to His good pleasures. So, it means this. God does not reward because we are faithful, but rather, God rewards because He is faithful to His plans. Allow me to say that again. God does not reward because of our faithfulness, but rather God rewards and God blesses because of His faithfulness to the covenant, to His plans. And we are affected and we are a part of His plan. Does that make sense? So God is not, we are not the sole reason. What we do, our faithfulness is not the sole reason that God reacts and God blesses and God works, but rather God works for Himself and for His plan, for because He is faithful, He is loyal to His covenant, to Himself, to His plan that involves us. Does that make sense? So, yes, if you are faithful and you are loyal to God, God will shine upon you blessings and rewards. But He does this according to His good pleasures. He doesn't do it solely because you go to church. He doesn't do it solely because you pray every day, because you read your Bible. God does not bless you solely because you do these things. No. God responds and God blesses you according to His good plans that affects you. So, if it is not covenant, if it is not retributive principle that is found here in Ruth, what exactly is going on here then? What is going on here? Why is God showing His favor to Naomi and Ruth? Well, one reason is because they're faithful. God does shine His blessings upon Naomi and Ruth. But Ruth and Naomi doesn't necessarily expect it. It was more, we'll be faithful to God, and God is there in their midst of difficulties, and He's working and making, He's bringing about good things. And in the end result is what really God is doing, and that's keeping the covenant loyalty that He has. Look at, turn with me to the end of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4. Verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16 and on. Listen to this. God blesses Naomi and Ruth's faithfulness, right? And He blesses them with Ruth, with Boaz, blesses them with a lot land that they can use for marriage. Not only that, but this is the most significant part. God blesses them with a child. Listen to what it says about this child. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And who comes out of the line of David? Jesus Christ. So you see that God responds to Ruth and Naomi's faithfulness, not solely because Ruth and Naomi was faithful, but because God is faithful to His covenant. God is faithful to His plans. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God makes a promise to Adam and Eve that out of Eve will come a seed, a person who will stomp the head of the serpent and so forth. It is a promise from the very beginning that God will make a plan and He will make a path, a direction where Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God will come out of. And it is through Eve, through this woman, and through that seed, through that lineage. And you see, all throughout history, history was molded and shaped and directed to this point when Jesus would come into the world and Jesus would die on the cross. So God is first and foremost faithful. He responds, not because of retributive principle, but because He is faithful and He is loyal to His covenant, to His plans, to Himself. And that affects us. That affects who we are, because it is in God's plan and His faithfulness to His plans. We have what? Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. If God was not faithful to His plans of molding and shaping history to point to leading to Jesus Christ to this earth, we would also be dead in our sins. Believers in Jesus Christ would not exist. We would still be dead in our sins. Our sins, past, present, and future, would not be washed clean by the blood of Christ, perfectly and humbly presented on the cross and in His resurrection. So I believe that in Ruth, the story of Naomi and Ruth's loyalty, their faithfulness, is you do not find retributive principle. Instead, what you find is that God rewards those who are faithful according to His plan. His plan is what? Jesus Christ. His plan is to bring forth the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ here on earth, the washing and cleansing of our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. That is the point. God is faithful first and foremost to His plans, to His covenant that He makes with us. So, as I close, this sounds like one of those, like, lecturing and talking and talking and talking, like, oh, finally He stopped. And that's fair, that's fine. And you might be wondering, well, so what? You know, so what? What about this? Well, I'll tell you this. Those of you who are struggling, those of you who are widows, those of you who are growing up and living in a broken home, those of you who have parents that constantly fight and bicker and yell at each other and they're at the verge of divorce, those of you who lost your jobs, those of you who might have a loved one that is stricken with cancer or some terminal illness, those of you that might have children that are rebellious and disobedient to you, those of you who just don't really, that just feel like you're in complete darkness and you can't get yourself out of it. And you're like, oh, what do I do? The answer is this. Be like Naomi and Ruth and be loyal and faithful to one another in their relationship, but more so, be loyal and faithful to God. Don't do it expecting that God is going to get you out of these things, but rather do this knowing that God is there. That in your difficulties, in your divorce, in your broken family, in your disease, in your lost job, your job search, in your struggles and in your darkness, in this difficult time in your life, God is there. And God is working His plan and His great purpose in and through your life. And you know what? You don't know what the future is like. You don't know what God has planned for you. You just don't know, but you got to believe and you got to trust that God is faithful. That God is faithful to His plan for you, His plan for the kingdom, His plan for Himself. And His plan for you is good. Even if you spend the rest of your life struggling, God's plan for you is good. And it sounds like a cop-out. You know, it sounds like, oh, that's such a cop-out answer. But it's the truth. Live by faith in Christ alone. Faith is believing that God is so big. God's plan is so great. It far exceeds your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge. That He has a good plan. And that plan is good for you. Believe and fight and trust that God will take care of you. Because why? He's faithful to His plan. He's faithful to Himself. And He will reward you. And He will bless you. So again, do not have faith. Do not be loyal to God expecting that God will get you out of this mess. Can He get you out of this mess? Sure, absolutely. But if you live your life, your Christian life, expecting that God is going to get you out of all these things, yeah, He will get you out of it. But what you're looking for is an immediate fix. And that's not guaranteed. That's not found in the Gospels. That's not found in following Christ. You don't find that. Can God heal you? Absolutely. Can God bless you with a great job? Absolutely. Can God bless you with a wonderful family? Absolutely. Can God bless you with all these great things? Absolutely. But can you still go through all these difficulties and be loyal to God? Absolutely. And is God absent? No. He is there. He is faithful to His covenant, His covenant relationship with you. Not because of what you do, but because of Himself. So, let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, it's definitely a difficult thing to swallow because nobody wants to remain and be stuck in a bad situation. I'm sure Naomi and Ruth had their difficulties. And I'm sure, Lord, there was a lot of times when they could have compromised their loyalty, but they continued to remain faithful to You, not expecting You to respond in favor. But Lord, You do this. You did show favor and You did respond in goodness for Your own plan. And that plan was, we see that it's bringing about and keeping Your promises made in Genesis 3:15. That through Ruth, through Naomi, comes a child, and that child will be the father of Jesse, and that father, and Jesse will be the father of David. And through the line of David, we see that Jesus Christ comes out of this line. Oh Lord, how beautiful are Your plans. Lord, may we submit ourselves to Your will and to Your plans, even when it is absolutely difficult and hard to persevere and fight on. May You give us the strength. May Your Holy Spirit give us the much needed rejuvenation to fight the good fight, to continue to be loyal to You and continue to love You, because, Lord, you first loved us, perfectly demonstrated on the cross, where Jesus Christ died for our sins. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to, I know I've gone on for a little bit. I want to take a moment and ask the ushers, you know, it is Mother's Day, and I'll speak on behalf of all the young people here. And I know for a fact that moms, you guys are not perfect, okay? You guys are not perfect. You guys make mistakes. You guys might have said things that are hurtful. You might have done things that are wrong. But nevertheless, we see that you are selfless. You are loving. You are unconditional. You are perseverant. You are patient. You are beautiful in your love for your children. Sorry, I'm thinking of my mom. So, all right. So we thank you for everything. So this is a very, very, very small appreciation for everything you do. So I guess moms, could you? Yeah, sorry. Oh, could you guys stand? Yeah, sorry. It's supposed to be a joyous occasion. please. Our ushers are handing out carnations for you. Please remain standing because I want to say this. You are absolutely beautiful and you are absolutely strong and you are such a nucleus, a key component to a healthy family. And we know that we live in a world where it is absolutely broken. It is so fallen and it's difficult and you fight and sometimes the husbands don't, you know, really, sorry Charles, you know, I'm not married, but you know, maybe we don't understand and the kids don't understand, but nevertheless, this is just one of 365 days where we appreciate you and we love you. And so this is just a small little appreciation. So why don't we give a round of applause for the moms. So why don't we also pray? Please remain standing and let's pray for our moms. So if your mom is here, pray for her specifically, and you know, whether they're here in the service or the Chinese service. So I will pray. Lord, thank you for these beautiful, wonderful moms in our life, Lord. We know that not all of us can be moms, and some of us, Lord, can't, and some of us can't have kids. Some of us, Lord, just are called and have a plan where we cannot have a child, where we're barren and so forth. So Lord, we thank you as well for the moms or for the ladies that cannot have children. Lord, we thank you for them. And Lord, we pray that you would bless these women and the mothers here. May you continue to give them the patience that they need to love us and to put up with us, Lord. May you give them strength, Lord. May you give them wisdom. And may you give them, Lord, many, many, many more years of just glorifying you in their family and to other women and single moms and moms in our church and in our community. So Lord, thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you, moms.